The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about a new topic. It's called ostomy. What is ostomy, you may ask yourself? Well, you know, you're familiar with a colostomy bag and what happens sometimes when they have some type of colon cancer or colorectal cancer or bowel cancer, and they've got to have a bag attached to themselves. And our special guest is Rafaela Reeb, and Rafaela is an advocate for living with ostomy, which Rafaela has been doing for a number of years following her her diagnosis, which was a surprise diagnosis. She's a vegan. She was very healthy, and she had some stomach issues, and she went to see her doctor, and they did a colonoscopy, and then they had some issues, some discussions back and forth, but net, what they found out was she had stage 2 bowel cancer and had to have surgery, and then became somebody who uses ostomy, and that is a stoma, which is this bag that you have a hole in your abdomen, and it eliminates waste, basically. So, listen, it's not a pretty topic to talk about, but you know what? This show is all about early detection and awareness. We're not doctors here on Guys Guys Radio. Nobody's giving any medical advice. We're not going against allopathic medicine or procedures. In fact, this is urging you, really. We really want to urge you for early detection and get yourself tested. If you have any type of issues, get those colonoscopies and make sure you're taking care of your digestive tract, because you can get a surprise diagnosis and sometimes it's not too good. So in Rafaela's case, Rafaela is an advocate. She has an organization called Stoma for Life, S-T-O-M-A, the digit 4, life. .com, and it's all about advocacy and awareness for debunking myths, erasing misconceptions, and approaching the topic of ostomy with some type of grace and some type of information and common sense. So I hope you will listen to the show or watch the show if you're on YouTube or Rumble, because there's a lot of information there that may help you, your friends, and family, because everybody seems to know somebody these days who has some type of issues with their digestive tract, and now it's the numbers are showing that there's more and more people who have the diagnosed with colorectal cancer and other things much earlier in life than it's not always after 50. In Rafaela's case, it came after 50, but in many cases now, people are getting a lot of different of these diseases at earlier ages. So we want to make sure that everybody gets themselves checked out by their physician, does the proper testing on schedule, and then knows what to do if things happen and they have post-surgery life. Because after, listen, I had two robotic surgeries, one on each kidney. We're going to talk about that with Rafaela, because it's going to be a conversation, really. And, you know, nobody really gives you a roadmap how to live your life after that. And I just had to make sure I did my research, did the choices that I thought were right for me. And fortunately, when I had my surgeries, they were 10 years ago now, and all is good. And I'm very, very blessed and pleased. And I'm a real advocate for getting yourself checked early and when anything happens, because I got a surprise. I was out running. I found out when I had terrible pain, my abdomen, I had to lay down. And then I got checked out, and they found a kidney stone, and at the same time, they found a small growth on each kidney. Thank goodness I got them taken care of right away. Within 5 weeks, I was in surgery on both, and that was 10 years ago. And if I didn't have that kidney stone, which at the time was incredibly painful, it actually turned out that it saved my life. And what happens in many cases, and Rafaela will attest to this, as I will, sometimes these diagnoses are a blessing, because they help you look at life differently, and many times they create advocates to help other people with these types of situations. So that's what we're going to get into on Guys Guys Radio. I hope it's an informative, helpful show for you and your loved ones. And thank you so much for listening. So let's get into it.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show. And today we're going to talk about stoma. You may not know what stoma is, but you have bowels. So if you have a problem with your bowels and you have the big C happens to you, well, then you're going to have to be aware of what stoma is. My very special guest is Rafaela Reeb. Rafaela is the one of the head honchos at UK Health Radio, where this show airs, and also the publisher of the Health Triangle magazine, which I write my column, Aging is a Choice, for that. It's a terrific digital magazine that comes out every month. And UK Health Radio is the largest talk health radio station in the world. It's digital. You can listen to us online. It's on demand. Guys Guys Radio is there four times every weekend, plus on demand. So check us out. And a little bit more about Rafaela is she, in her previous life, if you will, was the chief flight attendant for a major worldwide airline. And for many years, she had retired from that. And it looked like she was going off into the sunset to have a new career, and everything was rosy. And what happened was she had a diagnosis of stage three or two or three cancer. And fortunately, she had early detection. And after going through all the procedures and protocols, she decided to set up something called Stoma for Life, which is all about helping people who've had to address and face bowel cancer. And she's here right now, and we're going to talk about everything she's learned, everything she's gone through, and everything you need to know about bowel cancer and also stoma. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Rafaela Reeb.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert, for having me as a guest, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's get right to it. This is a topic where sometimes we get these surprises in life at the strangest times. As I was mentioning to you, Rafaela, prior to airing that, I had to get two growths taken out of my kidneys, and it came as a surprise. I was out running. I felt a lot of pain. I ended up going in to see the doctor a few days later. They said, you have a kidney stone. And oh, by the way, you have a growth on each kidney. I had that addressed. That was over 10 years ago. Everything's fine. But it's all about early detection and sometimes the fortunate things we have that sometimes don't seem so fortunate at the time. I can say for a fact that my disease, if you will, what I had was a blessing for me and changed my life. I want to turn it over to you to talk about what happened with you. You got out of the airlines, you embarked on a new career, and all of a sudden you had a colonoscopy, I believe.
Exactly that. It was my personal tsunami that hit me, and I was totally oblivious to what was actually happening. When I walked into my consultant's room to actually get a diagnosis, I had no idea what he was going to say, because it was definitely not something on my radar. It was definitely something that never even crossed my mind, because I'd, in my mind, led a healthy life. I'd exercised regularly. I kept my weight down. I ate very healthy. I was a vegan for 10 years. I did notice that through menopause, I was picking up weight, but not severely. Other than that, I actually felt quite well. And until I had ailments where I thought, those are not normal ailments. I have to address them. It's something that you can't think them away. And a lot of people will just ignore them, but I'm not one to ignore. I always have to know actually what's going on. I've been extremely inquisitive all my life. And I think that sort of attributed me being diagnosed very early. So when I walked into that consultant's office, I had no idea what he was going to tell me.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And fortunately, I had my husband sitting next to me, because he was sort of my eyes and ears, because when you do get a diagnosis like that, time sort of stands still. It's quite surreal. I mean, you can relate. You yes. said you yourself had a diagnosis. So when I was told that I had stage three bowel cancer, I sort of went into, I think, look, I'd been an in the airline industry for 30 years. And for 30 years, I did emergency evacuation training to save other people's life. And I went into the mode of saving my own life. I didn't panic. I really didn't panic. My husband actually said, you know, it was quite interesting to see the way you took the news, because I didn't let my emotions take over. Because as I've been taught for 30 years, your emotions don't have that, they're not of any use in a crisis. So I just, yes.
What were some of the symptoms that you had that spurred you to take a colonoscopy? Was it just you were you do what people over 50 usually get them? And you had mentioned in your bio that you had just turned 50 and you had you were post-menopause, I believe. What was it that inspired you, for lack of a better word, to get a colonoscopy?
Well, I had bowel issues, which I didn't, because I'd been vegan all this time, I knew exactly how my bowel movement was and sort of didn't expect to all of a sudden have problems. So being very graphic, you go to the toilet and you realize there's something not quite right. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you would go and think, oh, well, maybe I ate something that wasn't quite correct. And then you attribute it to something, like I said, that you've eaten perhaps. But if those issues persist over a longer period of time, which was in my case about 6, 7, 8 weeks, well, I thought, oh, this, I've got to have this checked out. But it was during the pandemic, so it was quite difficult to get it checked out and to actually have a timely consult, or to have somebody see you, a practitioner see you at that time. So it took a while for me to actually see somebody. And then they did a fit test here in the UK. I think it's just, it's a screening test. And that came up negative. But then they diagnosed me with hemorrhoids, even though that test came up negative. And I thought, no, this is not anything to do with hemorrhoids. I mean, I knew my body so well that I just knew that wasn't it. And I persisted, and they did another fit test, which came up negative again. And then, honestly, the doctor actually said, so what do we do now? And I said, I'd like that colonoscopy now, which I actually came in to have from the onset. And then in the UK, it actually, well, the NHS, once you're on their radar and they actually put on out an urgent message for having you checked out, it goes quite quickly. So within 2 weeks, I actually had the colonoscopy. And during that, I mean, that's an examination nobody wants to have, but during the examination already, I could see there was something. And I asked the person that performed it what that was, because it looked not right. And he just brushed it off and said a polyp. And I'm forever grateful that he didn't mention the C word, because I would have just been in absolute shock right there and then. So in my mind, I just went in there to see the consultant to have a non-cancerous polyp removed. But it wasn't like that. And as I was mentioning, you are in shock when you get a diagnosis, but I think my survival instinct kicked in, and my then consultant, and he was also then my surgeon, he said, it has not spread to any of your organs. And that to me was, wow, okay, that's excellent. That's the best news you can have when you get a diagnosis like that, that it hasn't spread. And he said, but we can't see how bad it is until we open you up. So he basically gave me two options, and there was actually only one option for me, and that was just to live as normal, if I could put it, the way I'd lived before, and that was by getting a colostomy.
Okay, so what do they actually do for that? What is a colostomy? What do they do? They take a section of your colon out?
Yeah. Now it was the end of my colon, so it was rectal cancer. So they took out all of the last part of your colon, and they actually, it's an incision, it's an opening in your abdomen where the waste will come out, and it's covered by a bag, and you have to change the bag, obviously, as much as you would if you, any normal person would go to the toilet. So it's a bag that's stuck on your stomach, basically.
So what's the difference between a colonoscopy bag and a stoma? And what is a stoma?
Now, the stoma is just the opening. The stoma is just referred to as the opening. Okay. In your, so, and my opening is because it's the end of the colon, it's a colostomy. But you can also have an ileostomy, which is then your small intestines. So okay. It depends. The stoma is just referred to the actual opening that you have. And then there's three different versions of openings that you can have, either for the bladder or for your small intestine or large intestine.
Okay. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio is Rafaela Reeve, one of the directors of UK Health Radio and also the publisher of Health Triangle magazine. We're talking about today, we're talking about bowel cancer today and Rafaela's journey to wellness. And what we want to do today is really make people aware of what the process is like, what you need to be aware of, and how important early detection is. So Rafaela, you mentioned that they gave you kind of two options, but there was only one option. If I may ask, what was the other option that you was like a no-go?
Well, the other option would be that I would live near a toilet basically for the rest of my life because they would not create a stoma.
Okay.
So basically you can just picture it in your mind. If that part is gone, obviously won't work. And I know of a lot of people that are very apprehensive of getting a stoma. And one of my very dear friends, she actually said a day before I was diagnosed, she said, there's no way that you've got bowel cancer, because I mean, it did occur in my mind then, but not really, because even she said, no, it's nothing on the cards. And her mother had had a stoma 15 years after living near a toilet for 15 years. And she always said it's the best thing that ever happened to her. And she was quite sorry she didn't do it earlier. So with that in mind, I thought it's just no option.
So many folks now have IBS or Crohn's disease, and they don't necessarily turn into colorectal cancer. But what should people who are dealing with those issues do to make sure that they've checked everything out so that they're in a good position and that they're aware of everything and they know how to take care of themselves?
Well, just like in my case, as soon as you have any digestive issues that are persistent for longer than 2 to 3 weeks, I think I would advise you to address it and go and see a doctor. Do all your screening tests. I mean, we've been taught about females going to have the mammograms, going to see people or see and have early detection for so many other things, but bowel cancer or doing a colonoscopy, people are very apprehensive, or they don't really want to do it. They basically push it out of their heads. So as soon as you are up for screening, go for the screening. Don't delay it. And as soon as there are any issues like I had, which you're not happy with, then go and see a doctor. Have it checked out. Unfortunately, I actually received the news only about 4 weeks ago. A very dear colleague of mine had passed, and his issues, now he'd passed from the same condition that I had, but he passed because he left it too long. He was actually asked by friends of his to have it checked out because it was a condition or it was getting worse, and he was just too scared to have it checked out. And I mean, he paid a high price for it.
Now, the stoma is what's the actual name of the actual procedure and the vehicle, if you will? Is it called a stoma?
No, it's a colostomy.
Colostomy, okay.
Yes.
And then what does stoma mean then?
The stoma is just the word for the opening.
Okay, that's right.
That's the only thing.
And then how long did it take, without getting too graphic? I mean, this is something that's going to change your life, but you're living a normal life. So tell us what you can and what people need to know about that. So maybe that'll alleviate some of their concerns if they ever have to face something like that. Because you look great. You're very vibrant. You and your husband, Johan, are like purpose-driven people, real inspirations, because he had a diagnosis of he would be dead in a year, and that was over a decade ago. And you guys are doing great work. So tell us a little bit about what you can share about the process in terms of what you had to learn about, what people should be aware of, what they don't have to be as concerned about.
Well, obviously it's a whole new life that opens up. And I was actually looking back, I was actually quite fortunate, because from receiving the diagnosis to my surgery, I only had 6 days. So there was no
That's fast.
Absolutely fast. So I did not have time to actually worry about it, or it was actually a very good thing looking back, because I actually had no idea. So there was nothing negative that could have actually developed in my head. I just woke up with the bag, and I was taught how to manage it, and it worked out very well. I remember I was in the ward with 4 other women, and we all had different ailments, but all had a stoma bag. And obviously everybody went in their own pace on how to deal with it and change the bag. I mean, they teach you right from the beginning to do it yourself. And if anybody's listening now, it's with anything in life, the beginning is always difficult. It's like, just think back on when you're riding a bike, or if you're a first-time parent and you've got to change nappies for a child, it's a terrible, time-consuming task. But once you know how to do it, it's really easy. And that's how I saw it. And I embraced it from the beginning. So if you should go through something like that, be positive about it. Have a positive feeling towards it, because I see it as my lifesaver. And how can I have a negative feeling to my lifesaver? Not at all. And my family was extremely supportive, so that helped me as well, because obviously it's an issue about your appearance. Will I be the same person? Will I look the same? No, you will never be the same person after you've been diagnosed with anything like that. But you can be different, and you can discover new things about yourself, which I did. So for anybody that's going through this, it is life-changing, but it doesn't have to define your life, and it doesn't have to make your life, it can actually make your life, I can't say better, but it's livable. And I don't even think about it as much as people might think. I often get told, but you don't look ill, or I've forgotten about it. And to me, I've forgotten that you had this. And to me, that's a compliment. It's a compliment when they can't see it, because I don't dwell on it. And I've never really looked for a reason why this happened to me. It's a fact. It happened, but it's in the past. And I look towards the future. And I think that's the...
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's Fantastic. The way I embrace life.
Okay, Rafaela Reeb, our special guest on Guys Radio today. And today, let's put it right out there. We're talking about how to manage bowel cancer and a colostomy. And it can be challenges. So lifestyle-wise, Rafaela, what changes have you made, or have had to make, or didn't have to make? And what surprised you about the kind of working with the stoma?
Well, in dietary, on a dietary note, I didn't really have to make too many changes, because I've been eating plant-based for almost 10 years then. There are a couple of things that you might avoid that might be a bit difficult to digest. Now, because it's the end of my colon, I don't have as some people might have with an ileostomy, I don't have too many issues. I do make sure that I don't eat anything that might cause gas or wind, because obviously that all goes into the bag, if you want to be very graphic. But other than that, on a dietary note, I think I've become a bit more aware of taking my time eating and chewing, because in the airline business, when I worked for the airlines, I ate extremely fast because time was always of the essence. So I was a very fast eater. I've actually made it my aim to be the last to finish at table, just to eat in, I won't say mindful, but just to be more aware of my chewing and eating, because it's all digestion, and digestion does start in your mouth already. So that's something I've looked at. I haven't really changed anything else because I do exercises still.
Okay. How about self-talk? I think we should touch on the importance of self-talk because our bodies listen to us. You had been mentioning in your bio, and I was listening to your show, by the way, Rafaela has a show on Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio. So please check that out. Every episode has more information and awareness there. It's great. But you mentioned the importance of self-talk. You had been saying to yourself, this is going to make me sick. This is going to make me sick, or something to those words. And it's very important that, subconsciously, the subconscious is listening, and we are directing the subconscious at all times. And studies have shown that the subconscious pretty much manages about 95% of our life. So self-talk is incredibly important. Talk to us about that.
I firmly believe that as well. And I was in a very bad place prior to my surgery. I was saying we were all going through the pandemic, and I'm not taking that as an excuse, but I did not practice any self-care whatsoever. I was really being absolutely negligent with my thoughts. I had toxic thoughts most of the time, lots of fearful thoughts, lots of anxiety. As I said, we were going through the pandemic, and I actually left the airline industry because of the pandemic, because the airline industry was going through a horrific time. I mean, we were grounded for months on end, and it was a job I absolutely loved, but I always said I'm going to be true to myself, and when I don't enjoy something anymore, I will change it, and I did. But getting there was a process, and I think that process took its toll on my mental health as well. And I had a lot of other mental issues that I actually never thought would grasp me, but the pandemic just brought out a lot of things, and I think that attributed to me being diagnosed. I can't say for sure, but I think it definitely played a huge factor. And as you mentioned, I kept on saying to myself, "This is making me ill." And if anybody is listening, it's yourself. And your thoughts and your inner dialogue is just so important. And I've really learned that. And I'm much more conscious of my thoughts and of how I speak to myself.
That's so important. Interesting. And also the support of your husband and your family. When I was going through my surprise, my son was 1 year old. My best friend had died a year earlier with a son 2 years old. He had prostate cancer, and it got away from him. And I'm like, oh my God, is this my turn now? And I said, no way. And we went through everything. And I asked my wife afterwards, I said, you didn't seem concerned. Why was that? And she said, I always saw you as healthy. I never saw you as sick or disease. I always saw you as healthy during that time frame. So I wasn't concerned. The way I was concerned, but I wasn't concerned that things wouldn't work out right. And I think that's incredibly important to have that type of energy coming to you instead of the oh my God. Because I noticed with a couple of other friends, as soon as they found out what I had, maybe you've had the same experience, I could see the switch go off saying, he's gone. And I figured that's just because they it's not their fault that they're not doing it at me. It's just that's their fear. They'd have to shut it off. Did you experience any of that when you had your diagnosis and you shared it with your friends?
Yes, certainly. I certainly did. And you can't really blame them because a lot of them have never had to face any of that. And everybody's got their own reality and also their own way of dealing with something like that. But there's something that I can't really work well with, and that's pity. And a lot of them pitied me. And I thought, I don't want to be pitied, because I don't, as soon as they came around the corner with pity, I thought, do I have to feel bad now? And I never did. I had this innate strength in me that I didn't want it. How can I actually express it? I didn't want them to deflate it through their pity, if that sort of makes sense. So I did have people that didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, I myself had to learn how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. Well. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you had the same experience as I did. I had never thought about mortality, or never kind of looked into the void. And once I did that, and I did work before my surgery, I did a lot of visualization. I did some color works, and the size of my growths actually shrank, but they still, like, we got them out. But it emboldened my belief in the fact that we have some input in terms of what's going on with our body. How did you deal with that type, the mental side of things, when you were going through it, understanding, you know, other people have their own discomfort? When you were, I'm sure at some point said, am I going to make it? How did you handle that? And how has that made you a better person? I'm sure it has, because I know it's made me a better person. I think anybody who's gone through this, like Johan, and you get over it, the food tastes better, the air smells, you know, cleaner, and everything is better. And the one thing that I don't have as much patience for, in a lot of ways I have more patience, but I don't have patience for people who waste my time. But otherwise, it's been like a real blessing now that I don't even think about it anymore. Talk to us about that, all of that stuff.
Well, I think you've just hit the nail on the head, because time is of the essence. And once you've gone through something like that, you realize how precious time is. I mean, there's no present like time and no time like the present. So I said this to a friend of mine not so long ago. I absolutely feel so alive now. I think more alive now than before my diagnosis. Now, please note, I never call it my cancer. It's just a diagnosis that I had, because I certainly did not invite this. I don't own this. I don't want this. I didn't want this in my life. So I actually feel more alive now, because I know that from one day to the next, your life can change.
Yes. I actually said to my growth, if you will, I said, I love you. Thank you for letting me know about you. Now I would like you to leave. So I'm going to release you. And fortunately, the surgeries went beautifully. And, you know, things could, I'm not saying I did that, but you know what? All these things we're talking about, Raphael, in terms of taking charge of the situation, taking responsibility, and not just sitting back and letting things happen. I think even my physician, my surgeon said, we like patients like you, because you're doing stuff. You're doing your best that you can do. And since then, my diet's changed. I don't eat meat. I don't drink alcohol. Maybe I would have, those things might have happened anyway. I don't know, but I feel better now that I'm doing that than I ever have. I feel great. How have you done any other lifestyle changes since then that you didn't have to do?
Well, I've become more in tune, obviously, with my body, my inner voice, even more than before. I do practice my grateful list, my meditation. Those are all things that are very dear to me. That's how I start my day, and that's how I actually also finish my day, just being grateful for every single moment. And I try and teach my children about this as well. I mean, they've had both their parents as cancer survivors, so to them it was obviously a huge shock as well. But yes, I embrace that fully, being responsible of yes, my mind, and
so important. My special guest on Guys Radio, Raphael Arib, we're talking about really bowel cancer in general, how we can deal with it. We're not talking about cures or this and that here. We're talking about, you know, the personal journeys. Raphael's journey. I'm sharing a couple of notes about my journey and about Johan, who's a head of the UK Health Radio, his journey. And you know what? We're all here. So it's good news. What I think that our listeners would and viewers would love to learn about is your Stoma for Life, your show. You have a show about the awareness for how to deal with bowel cancer and the Stoma Life. And also, you know, you have a website for it and a lot of the work you do. There's support groups also for people. I would like you to talk about that because I think a lot of our listeners and viewers out there would want to know where they can turn if something like this happens.
Now, thank you. Thank you for addressing Stoma for Life. Now, Stoma for Life, the radio show, actually came about because a neighbor of mine told me about her father that had ignored signs of bowel cancer for so long that all they could do was send him home. And I thought, you know, this should not be. People should be made aware that there are treatments out there. And if early detection, especially in bowel cancer, if it's detected early enough, it is curable and you can live a normal life. I mean, I consider myself leading a normal life now. Okay, as a person with a colostomy here in the UK is deemed or is said to be a disabled person, but I don't see myself as being disabled. I always say I'd rather have a bag on my...
Sorry.
I always say I'd rather have a bag on my tummy than a tag on my toe. So it's just the way you look at these things. And to me, I wanted to create a platform for people to go to and be able to hear other people that go through a diagnosis or live in an ostomy. Because I, as I mentioned before, and I had no idea what a stoma was when I walked into that consultant's or into my surgeon's consulting room. I had no idea. And I don't want other people to go through that. So I want to share with them that it's not that bad. You can live like that and that prevention is better than cure. And I know that here in the UK, you get a screening test from the age of 50, but a lot of people don't actually participate. And I would just like to invite them to do so. Unfortunately, numbers of people that are much younger are increasing in bowel cancer. I know it's actually a global thing. It's not just in the UK, it's in the USA as well. And we've lost some very young people to this disease. So I wanted to create a platform just to raise awareness, show people it's okay to talk about these issues, because a lot of people still, when they talk about bowel movements, it's a hush-hush thing. People don't like to talk about it. It's something that you don't talk about.
Exactly. You were vegan prior to this, yeah. And it's a very healthy lifestyle. And a lot of people are, you know, if you look at the food that's advertised on in the media, you know, the bacon double cheeseburger with the garlic butter and this and that. These are things that, like, if you really have to be careful of what you eat these days more than ever. What was your self-talk like when, you know, you're being a vegan, doing everything you need to do in terms, that's probably the healthiest diet and it's not an easy one to follow. What did you learn from that? And what have your other people in the Stoma group, the Stoma for Life group and support groups, are their lifestyles more apt to be a stepping stone towards the road to bowel cancer versus a vegan? Or have you found that it's totally random in a lot of ways?
It is totally random in a lot of ways, but I've also found that a lot of people, they don't want to change. You know, then they think, okay, it's been removed and I can carry on doing what I've been doing, but you actually can't. And okay, I can't really redefine my eating habits because they are already very healthy. But as we mentioned, I'm constantly working on my thought processes, and which I attribute to me being diagnosed, that I was really not kind to myself. So a lot of people, I find, they just ignore that. They also find it too challenging. But nobody fights for your life like yourself, and you should give everything a chance. And what is what is the big deal on trying a new diet? You might just find new things, new taste explosions. There is no, I mean, try it for 30 days. I invite you to try it for 30 days and tell me, has it made a difference? Well, it definitely did with me. Okay, you could say you're a vegan and you still got bowel cancer, but it's just like a smoker or non-smoker that gets lung cancer. These things happen. And I want people to just make sure you cannot say this will never happen to you. I mean, it's a classic saying. A lot of people, when they get diagnosed, oh, I never thought so. Yes, these things do happen. I don't want to scare anybody either, but just be wary and listen to your inner voice, because to me, my inner voice was screaming at me and saying, you have to get this checked out. And I think a lot of, we've all forgotten how to listen to that inner voice. A lot of people, or a lot of children actually, they still listen to their inner voice, but us grown-ups, we don't anymore. I think there's so much noise around us, we forget to listen to our inner voice.
What, in terms of the episodes for your radio show, what are some of the topics that you cover so people can be aware of that?
I've covered stress management. I've covered people with Crohn's disease. I've covered IBS, which is different to IBD, but which is also a form of, well, it's part of your gut health. I have had a lot of people on that had, pretty much like me, never heard of a stoma before and ended up with one. So it's a broad spectrum, from the people that are affected by it, or the people that actually, I've had my surgeon on as well. He was kind enough to come onto the show and just talk about.
What did he have to say? What was his kind of words to the wise?
His concern is just like mine, that people are younger and younger being diagnosed, and that we pledge for early detection and screening. I know in the US, as far as I know, it's been lowered to 45. Mm-hmm. Now here in the UK, the screening starts at 50. So maybe lowering the age would help in getting it detected earlier. So that was his main concern. But he also said that, okay, I had symptoms, I felt it, but it's not always so clear. And when you are unsure, just have it checked out. That's, I think, the biggest message. Just go and have it checked out for peace of mind.
That makes perfect sense. So what else? Tell us a little bit about where people can find more about you. We mentioned the show, the website. Could you just repeat those? And I want everybody to have this information and jot it down in case they have a pen or pencil nearby.
Yeah. That's stoma, STOMA, then the digit 4, and then life, LIFE.com. And on the website, you will find a bit about stoma care, and symptoms of bowel cancer, all my episodes, and also my actual story, and also links to all my social media. And you can also get into contact with me. I'm in the process of actually finishing my art life coaching, because I want to help people after successfully beating cancer to get back into the swing of things, into life through art. Because as you mentioned, I'm a graphic designer. I live and breathe art. And that to me was one way of, helping other people get back on track.
And Health Triangle Magazine, which is the digital publication as part of UK Health Radio. Talk to us a little bit about that, because you are kind of the publisher and oversee all the creative.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the creative director. And, you know, this came about actually quite by accident, because Johan asked me to, many years ago, to do a magazine for the radio station. And I thought it was perhaps just once or twice a year. Little did I know, he wanted a monthly magazine. And before I knew it, I did one every month, and I enjoyed it incredibly. Now, I come from newspaper design. So to me, that was really, it was wonderful when I got the opportunity to create it, because it's something that has been my passion, well, actually all my life, design. So now we've just published issue 123, and I really enjoy it. I must say it's been a wonderful journey on a design aspect. And you can see, well, I can see it's different and it's new every single month. So I invite
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful publication. It really looks great. And the content is very digestible, short articles, but to the point, and so many different topics that are covered there. And I'm so pleased that my series, Aging is a Choice, which is about a lot of the things we talked about today, about the importance of self-talk and important really just being taking care of yourself and being positive. And that's what it's all about, because I think what happens in our culture is that we are given, there's a thing I call social ageism, where we are given you're at this age, so you are this. You are the worker, now you're the provider, and now you're grandpa, and now you're old. And I hear it all across the board. Every one of my friends who's turned 70, they've said that word every time because they've been told you're old. And I don't agree with that, because I'm not 70, but I don't feel old. Somebody tells me, I feel how I feel. And I think concerning what you've gone through and what we're all going through in terms of our culture, we have to really take the reins and manage our own lives.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I also found this, a lot of people are old before their time because they keep on saying they're old. Now, what is age? What is the number? I mean, it's actually irrelevant. It's irrelevant on anything. I mean, you can feel 100 when you're 20, but it's all a state of mind. So I also don't let age creep up, and I celebrate every single number. A lot of people get depressed when they hit the big 50 or 60. Why? I mean, you have just achieved something great.
Exactly.
You've exceeded, and you know, there are so many people out there from my school days that never even saw 40. So I'm happy to celebrate each and every birthday.
Regardless of the bumps on the road during the journey, it's part of our journey, it makes us better people. And I can tell you're a quality person to begin with. And this has really elevated you you are a way shower to the world with what you're doing, because this is something that's on the increase and you are putting information out there to help people deal with this. So thank you for everything you're doing, Rafaela. Keep doing the great work, and please come back and talk about it again.
Thank you so much, Robert, for having me. It was great talking to you.
You're welcome.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, that was a terrific and very informative, nice conversation also with Rafaela Reeb, who is the advocate for bowel cancer awareness and also for folks living with ostomies. So I hope you got some information out of that. I hope the takeaway is that it's always good to do early detection, do testing, make sure you take care of yourself, see your physicians, go through the protocol of testing whenever you need. It's scheduled or you need to be, or it should be taken care of, because if you just push those things aside, and a lot of guys, we don't like to go to doctors and we push things away. And it seems like, it's like when you bring your car in, every time you bring it in, they find a whole bunch of stuff that you weren't aware of because it seemed to be running okay. And then they find all these other things. The same thing happens, it seems like, when we go see the physician or the dentist or whatever, that they always find something, but that's their job. That's what they do, and it's to help us. So please get yourself checked out. If you're over 50, get to colonoscopies and make sure that you're having good open conversations with your physicians, and also understand that there are support groups. When people do get chronic diseases, there's all types of support groups out there for people with ostomy. Go to Stoma for Life, S-T-O-M-A, digit 4, life.com. And there's plenty of information. And also, as Rafaela mentioned, she's got a radio show on UK Health Radio, Stoma for Life, which is all about sharing information for people afflicted with this disease. So, Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on KCAA Radio in Southern California, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM. The show rebroadcasts every Saturday at 8 p.m., Sundays at 6 p.m., so we're on three times in prime time. You can also listen to us online or on the KCAA app. We had the podcast, the Guys Guys Radio podcast. It's on every major platform globally. We've been downloaded in over 100 countries. And we also are on UK Health Radio, the world's largest talk health station. It's digital, so you can listen to us at any time on your computer or on your phone. And you can get my show, Guys Guys Radio, 4 times every weekend or on demand. So you can listen to any of the episodes whenever you want. Just go to UKHealthRadio.com and you'll find us there. I'm also a contributor to UK Health Radio, does a digital magazine. It's called Health Triangle Magazine. It's a lot of wellness information there. And I write a column about aging called Aging is a Choice. And I do it every month, so check that out. And we also have some of those columns are also showing up now on my website, robertmanni.com. There's over 300 blog posts about life, love, the pursuit of happiness, all things guys, guy, and information to help you live your best life. It's all free. And while you're there, you can download 3 free chapters of my novel, which is really the source material for everything guys, guy. It's called The Guys, Guys, Guide to Love. It is a novel. It's a sexy romp through the fast-moving, high-stake world of Madison Avenue advertising. About really 2 guys in advertising in New York City competing for love, sex, power, and money. It's been called the man's successor to Sex and the City by iconic author Dan Wakefield. So check it out. 3 free chapters online, and then you can pick up a physical or digital copy of the book, whatever you choose. So we're here for you every week on Guys Guys Radio. The purpose of the show is to bring you information for you to consider to help yourselves. And I'm getting an education, as you are, because I screen all the guests. I choose who I want to have on the show. I ask the questions I want to ask for me, and I ask the questions, more importantly, that I want to ask for you, because I want to make sure that our guests come on here and they can promote their work, but also I want to get information that we can all use from our guests to help us live our best lives. And we do guests from all over the spectrum. As you know, last week we had transcendental meditation. This week we talk about bowel cancer. Next week we're going to talk about something different. And we just keep going. And it's all information for you. And I've interviewed over 700 guests now. And it's just been terrific. And we've got a lot more coming. I want to thank my wonderful 700 guests that I've connected with. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, my strategy lead, Ryan, and most of all, I want to thank you, my audience, because without you, you know, we wouldn't have a show, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. Between KCAA, the podcast, UK Health Radio, we're on YouTube and Rumble, so you can watch the interviews each and every week. We've got the book, The Guys, Guys, Guide to Love. You can also catch me frequently. I'm a regular contributor to Second Act TV, which is a very popular YouTube show. It's about relationships over 50. And it's hosted by my friend Silke Schwarzkopf. And please check it out because I'm on there all the time. And we talk about relationships and a lot of other relevant issues for people over 50 that they're going through. Because, you know, the population keeps aging. The boomers, there's so many boomers out there. And they're asking a lot of questions. And it's incredible that half of the people over 50 are still single. So we've got a lot of information there for you also. So Guys Guys Radio, thanks for being there. Here. I'm going to be with you next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.